Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy Smart was back, a man of many talents, as you'll discover.
His title's getting longer,
isn't it? It is, all the time. So he was on good form. He looked at some of the stories you may have missed today. Neil Robertson is the former world snooker champion, and he had a bit of a mishap with the sat-nav. On the way to a tournament, you'll be hearing about that. And we had
clips of the month.
Yeah, we brought you those. We had a bit of a chat as well. So here it all is, some of the best of this afternoon's show.
Great weekend's football.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely tremendous. Beautifully, there's nothing like the first game of the weekend.
I know.
You know, I could barely bring myself to watch Match of the Day. I started to watch Match of the Day late so I could spawn through the 10-minute highlights and just listen to the punditry. I couldn't bring myself
to watch that. When your team get beat on a Saturday, you don't feel like watching it. Sometimes, actually, it's cathartic. Once you've gone through watching it, you feel a bit better afterwards. You realise. I mean, it was a strange one, Spurs. I mean, we'll talk with Motti about this more. You know, people are speculating this is wrong, that's wrong, and you always get this when teams aren't winning. But nobody, unless you're behind the scenes, only you know. But it's clear that something's not wrong.
Something's definitely up. It looked to me, I can't send you a WhatsApp during the game, the team had a look of the closing stages of Chelsea under Mourinho.
And United under Mourinho.
Yeah, good players not turning up, not showing the intensity, the skill, the drive, the belief.
They're a much better team than that. We all know that.
This is what it looks like from the outside to me. I could be completely wrong. I have no inside track. It looks to me that finally the manager's been slightly worn down, didn't really get what he wanted, and he's finding it hard to get out of this personal fug. I think he cannot get over the fact that this was a great opportunity and it has possibly passed him by. And the players can smell it. They can smell a manager that isn't quite as motivated as he was. And I think that comes across on the pitch. I mean, look, I've got, as I said, that's just me, as somebody who's been watching the team for 50-odd years.
He made the point, he said that the injury affected the players. But when a bad injury happens like that, it can work two ways. I mean, often the players can think, well, let's do it for Hugo.
I'd accept that if they came out in the second half and were a different side, but they weren't. That intensity wasn't there, was it? It's very interesting talking to Danny Murphy then. He makes the point about Eriksen because he took most of the stick because people know the narrative that he wanted out. But he did more running than anybody. Not necessarily effectively, but he didn't put a shift in. That's something is wrong. I looked at that. I was willing to say this is just a blip until I watched how terrible that performance was in every department. Yeah. And those guys are much, much better players than that. So,
and it's hard to tell how good Brighton were. They're obviously better than they were against Chelsea, where they were pretty poor. But, you know, it's difficult to tell. The
something
thing is, though,
smells.
Supporting a football team is such an up-and-down thing, isn't it? We all know that. And it was great for Prince George to see his first game.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to tell him, it's not like this every week, mate.
Yeah. He needs a few seasoned Villa fans to have a word with him.
He does.
That's the trouble, isn't it? Your first game.
Perfect for him.
The first game I ever saw for Tottenham, they won. I mean, what, your first ever game for Chelsea? Did they win that?
Yes, they won 3-1.
Yeah, they won that. So my eldest lad, they lost to Newcastle. The youngest, they beat Bolton 4-0. I think it was a cup game. So I think that maybe that shapes you. I don't know. If the first time you go...
It was a Christmas game. It was Chelsea against Southampton. There were only about 13,000 people there. And it was 0-0. It was terrible.
And that put her off forever. And she's not been back since.
Anyway. But it's interesting on West Ham on Saturday. It's funny how managers see a game. When Pellegrini interviewed on Match of the Day, and he's saying, well, the stats were in our favour and, you know, they only had one shot a goal. And then meanwhile, the stats come up. Four shots on target.
Yeah.
XG much higher than West Ham. Do you think, hello? It's just how they see it.
Did you see that little George, was wearing a pyjama top?
Oh, was he?
He had a Villa T-shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the top half of pyjamas you can buy in the club shop for £22.
Oh, that's nice.
So I don't know if they turned up and then somebody in the club shop said, little present for George. Well, we haven't got any T-shirt. Just get the old pyjama top. Get that on. Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to write to the Sun saying, people get pilloried for walking around their supermarket or dropping their kids off at school in their pyjamas, but Prince George can go to a football match in his. Double standards, ?
Yeah, exactly.
You can see it, can't you?
I've definitely been there tomorrow. In fact, I might even write.
Yeah, good. You do that. You do that and you get it in the papers tomorrow.
I've drawn up a silverometer for Motti. It's getting quite close. So we'll get him to sort of put in the arrow where it lies. At the moment. But this was a strange quote from him. He said...
What, Motti?
No.
Oh, Marco Silva, yeah.
After the defeat to Burnley. He said, I never lose my focus. Never, never, never. I never lose my desire. I never lose what's important to my job. I'm never scared about anything. Never, never, never. I hope he doesn't buy anything on HP.
We should get Never Southall on HP. That's a lovely quaint old phrase, is on the never,
on
never.
The never, never.
Does anybody use that?
I don't think they do. I was thinking, can you even buy anything on HP now? Does it still exist?
Well, your people can. Credit still exists.
Oh, credit exists, yeah. They call it HP.
I don't know if they've called it HP for years, Andy. They probably do still call it HP.
And next weekend, Eliud Kipchoge, the fine marathon runner, will be going to try and break the 2-hour barrier.
Yeah, like a sub 200. Yeah. It's all, everything's set up for him to do it.
It's quite a fascinating thing, the way they're doing it. It won't mean anything when he does it because it's not a proper race. So, but if he does, fine. Well,
all the best, Eliud, by the way. Yeah, we're rooting for you here.
But when you look at him, he's 34. When you look at him, you really do doubt the benefits of running. He looks about 54. Look at him. He really looks like an old man. Would you say he's 34?
I don't know. He could be.
Strained look that the marathon.
Well, obviously, you're quite thin. You're quite gaunt. There's not a lot of flesh on your bones. And sometimes people that are quite thin like that can look a bit older, can't they?
That's true.
That's the thing.
I quite enjoy in the morning when I read the Times and the Sun.
Yeah.
And the ad for the breakfast show comes out. Occasionally, once a week, I suppose. Yeah. Other shows are advertised, but definitely. And I quite like drawing on Alan. Either like colouring him and making him more red.
Okay.
Well, today I've given him a Hoxton barista.
Let's have
a look.
Yeah.
I think that's a good look for Alan.
Let's have a look at Alan with a big beard.
Yeah,
do you think so?
Yeah.
Glasses. So you've given him little round glasses and you kind of beard like you.
Yeah. Well, I basically made him look like me.
Yeah. He can look good with a beard. I think it would work for him because it's obviously.
I'll leave that in the studio. I'll put it on his thing.
I think we'll put it. Maybe we'll put it on. Take a photograph of it. We'll put it up on that TSH and J, so people can think they like Alan. Alan with a B, and give him a few makeovers. We'll get a few copies of the papers in. You can try a few different things. It's great, isn't it? Gets paid for drawing basically next 3 hours.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're here now to look at some of the stories you may have missed today and over the weekend in the company of comedian, ball runner, farmer, fan, cheese chaser, newspaper columnist, author.
All-rounder.
Just stop doing
stuff. I can't make my mind up, really.
Andy Smart is back. Hi, Andy.
Hiya.
Yeah, so your new column in the non-league paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it debut this weekend?
It was, yeah. Fortnightly it will be in, and I'll be going around lots of grounds and writing up things, the people I meet, like it was at Taunton on Saturday. We lost 3-1, having been 1-0 up. Taunton got a goal in the 62nd and a goal in the 63rd minute.
Oh, wow.
And then we just capitulated as usual. But I had some nice chat. I was talking to Mr. Irish, who was the son of Liam Irish,
right.
The father of Liam Irish, who's the Taunton goalkeeper. And while we were talking, he made three unbelievable saves.
So, well, he was telling he was missing his son.
Yeah, he's actually got three sons, and all three have played for Taunton.
Well,
yeah.
What about
he
that?
Was quite proud of that. So, but that's it. People are starting to come up to me on the terraces and telling me this. So I had a long chat with a guy called Rich and a guy called Steve. Steve was an Exeter fan who couldn't be bothered going to Crewe Alexandra.
Yeah.
And Richard was an ex referee at that level. So we had a long chat about how we hate people cycling on footpaths.
That's all you want out of the news.
Of course.
Your headline says, worth losing my Zippo for, which quite intriguing.
Well, that was the Farnborough match against West Ham in 1980, and we got there and... it was Julian Dick scored for West Ham, and then in about the 86th minute, we got a penalty, and Dean Coney slotted it away, and it was just, I went crazy jumping up and down, and I had this really expensive lighter that someone had brought me back from New York. It was a vintage Zippo. It was worth about 100 quid in those days.
A lot of money.
And it just flew out of my pocket because I was jumping about like an idiot. and I just went, and then someone asked me for a light, and I went, oh no, I've lost my lighter. I went, oh, it doesn't matter. We've just drawn with West Ham.
Someone's got it. Probably still working.
Probably out there, yeah, probably. They were very well made.
He played for Fulham, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Big non-league interest, of course, the FA Cup fourth round. You're not particularly interested in it, are you, at the moment?
No, we got knocked out by Wealdstone 5-0 the week before we lost 7-0, yeah.
So that fourth qualifying round is live on TalkSport 2 at 1:30. Motti will be in at 2:30.
Talking in the draw, John? You're going to slip out and watch
it. Yeah, the National League clubs.
I'm going to go and watch the Wealdstone against the Bristol Farm, because Wealdstone beat us, and then this team, a league below us.
So you're going to follow?
0-0.
You're going to follow it,
I'm going to follow it for a bit, yeah, but I fancy a game at Wealdstone. It's a nice little ground, nice bar.
Does the Wealdstone Raider still rock up for games?
He turns up now and again, yeah. Is he? You want some?
But does he do it like as a turn now, even if he's not had a drink?
It was a turn then.
Does he sigh wearily and go, do you want some? You've got no fans. You're all right, mate. I do it 10 times a game. You must get bored with it now, I'm sure.
I think he probably is.
Yeah. So, it wouldn't be a World Cup, Andy, without a predictive animal.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Rugby World Cup.
And the Rugby World Cup has had two octopuses that were predicting
but
it.
Paul the octopus and all these sort of offspring. We've had enough of them.
This
none
is a monkey.
None of them as good as Tinsel.
It's a chimp.
Exactly.
It's a chimp. It's a chimp called Goro.
And what they're writing? They're writing the teams on bananas, aren't they?
I don't know what they're doing. I think he kind of studies. He watches old games back and studies the form.
No, he doesn't. He catches sweet potatoes hanging from the banners of the participating countries. So they put up the two countries that are playing.
Yeah.
And then he grabs the sweet potato that he thinks that is going to win.
I mean, all I'd say about Goro at the moment is that he doesn't really stick his neck out.
No.
The ones he predicted were New Zealand beating Canada. We don't need sweet potatoes to do that, do you, really? He also said that Australia would beat Uruguay. That was a bit tighter. Wales would beat Fiji. So all I'm saying is, Goro, let's see how you do in the latter stages when the games become much closer. See how the sweet potatoes hang
in. I said this morning that Tinsel, he normally prefers rugby league because they play it in the summer and at least knows he'll see the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to invest in a club.
There he is.
That's not. It wasn't funny. I know, Tinsel, it wasn't funny. But you don't invest in halfway through, find out, you know, your giblets are in a plastic bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, then. Nothing's going to happen to you. You've got a protection order on you because this show. And the fact that he is a FIFA. He works for FIFA during World Cups.
And, of course, we had the very sad news that Ginger Baker, the legendary drummer...
Yes. Have you watched the Ginger Baker film?
I have, yes. Where he breaks the director's nose in the opening scene.
It's possibly one of the greatest opening scenes of any film, isn't it? if people haven't got a and
it's worth a look.
He's
yeah.
a difficult man. He's yeah. a great drummer. If but you he could,
if although, yeah, he did. He did play for about 17 different bands, didn't he?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they all got tired of it.
Him and Jack Bruce, they couldn't yeah. stand each other. But the thing I like this morning, this is probably the least interesting thing or most obvious thing, I suppose, written about him. He was born Peter Baker in Lewisham, South East London, and got his nickname from his red hair. No, really.
And his love of biscuits.
Most gingery man.
Yeah. You could have put that to Goro. Where did Ginger Baker get? And he would have. See, he can do the easy stuff. He can do the easy
good
stuff.
Good old Goro.
Yeah. Ginger Baker used to have a studio up in Willesden, and I used to hang around with the Alarm, the Welsh rock.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah, because Gaz Top used to do the show with us.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes,
Saturday
yeah.
mornings, and he was there. He started off as their roadie. In fact, he's just done a tour with them around America again. Okay. Yeah. And Ginger Baker used to just sit in the back room, and if anyone went anywhere near the door, you just have this tirade of swearing, and you just yeah. ran back into the studio again.
You once told me a thing about Gaz Top. I think even when I first met you, because I think yeah. it was about that time you were working with him, you said that every time you went around to Gaz's house, he'd get a video out of himself and put it on. Is that true?
Was you supposed to share that with a national radio audience?
I think
Andy told you that in confidence, did he? I'm guessing he did.
I think he's changed.
As long as like 1988, yeah. I'm sure Gaz has moved.
He's a lovely man. He's not. Yeah. He's Gareth Jones. Now,
he is Gareth. He dropped the Gaz Top because obviously when you're in your 50s, it doesn't wear well.
We should get him in.
Yeah,
yeah.
We should.
Yeah,
we will. We'll ask you about the tour.
Is he still in Wales? We're in Wales.
No,
next
he's
week.
In Crouch End.
Oh, okay.
No,
that's a tough
we're doing a show from Wales next week. You might want to come down.
The big burning question in football at the moment is when is Henrik Larsson going to say yes or no to South End?
Has he been back there?
Sorry?
Has he been seen there again?
They've flown out to see him now.
Oh, for goodness sake.
What a courtship. What a courtship this is to try and get Henrik Larsson to manage at Rooks Hall. He's kind of standing there with his fan, like somebody from a Jane Austen novel, yeah. coquettishly.
Other offers,
I really don't know. Maybe I, you know, but Halmstad's are showing an interest. But this is. I mean, what's going to take him over the top? Is it the quality of the Winkles? Is the refinery still pumping out that smell at Canvey Island? What will make him go yes or no? I don't know.
Canvey Island, their team down there, I went to see an evening game, and the smell from the gasworks, and this bloke pulled a fag out next to me. I went, no!
You're joking. You wouldn't do it next to your cooker when it had been on all night, would you? That's sure that's not the case.
Yes.
But even now, Steve Evans says he'll be heading down the route. So I told you, all the Celtic fans, anybody will, they're going to put about, if they get Henrik Larsson in, they'll put about 10,000 on the gate.
That's a very good point. That's coaches. What they're doing.
Coaches from Glasgow. But anyway, we'll find out if that's likely to happen or not very soon. Andy Smart is with us. We're looking at some of the stories over the weekend you may have missed.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Honestly, every time Andy Smart comes in this studio, we find out something else. His dad was a speedway rider. We've got the speedway on.
Not for long, but he did it for a couple of
beyond the first bend, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and then he did scrambling. He did. Yeah, he loved his motorbikes.
Did you ever get into it to get you into the bikes?
No, I wasn't allowed. No, when I got to 16, all the other kids got mopeds for getting their O levels, and I got 10 golf lessons, which were a waste.
Did set you on your way to the PGA Tour. Though, didn't it? Yeah. That's one way of looking at it.
I still haven't broken 100.
Yeah. Excuse me. Now, this is an old newspaper staple. Yeah. Things that appear, things with other faces in it, and this and that. But there have been a rush of them this week. On Saturday, we had Ed Sheeran as a Malteser. I mean, I just can't see that at all.
Ed Sheeran's face in a Malteser, yeah.
Today we had a bloke who spotted the Lord's face, God's face, in a cloud. I mean, again,
it's just a cloud.
It's just a cloud. I'm sure people are just, you know, I'm not saying
you've got to have faith.
And then we had
George Michael
Hulk
once
Hogan
said.
Hogan as a boat.
Hulk Hogan is a boat.
Now that works.
Good.
That
you
works.
Like that, do you? Yeah,
that's
you're
excellent.
Buying that one, aren't you?
I'm definitely buying that one.
The back of a boat. Not a boat. The back of a boat.
I hope it's in better shape than Hulk Hogan.
it wouldn't be seaworthy, unfortunately. Well, poor old Hulk, he's taken its toll wrestling, isn't it? Where were we? Yeah, now, Mike Parry on social media the other day. Always entertaining. But we often know Mike is, and we're going to prove it in a few moments' time, he's the king of kind of reinventing the lyrics of songs. But this does take some beating. Don McLean's 74th birthday, and yeah. Mike was paying tribute to it on social media. And he says, the legend is Don McLean is 74 today. Bye-bye, Mr. American Pie. Bye-bye, Mr. American Pie. No, he actually, bye-bye, Mr. American Pie, which hasn't even scared in the song. One of the endearing choruses of my youth, so much so,
you can't remember it.
When a few years later I got to interview him ahead of his British tour, says Mike, I was last to see him after a very long day, and he fell asleep as I was talking to him. That's because you misquoted his most famous lyric, Mike. But this, Mike has proved that his ability to improvise is just legion, really. This is his reworking. I never tire of this. This is his reworking of Do You Think I'm Sexy? When he doesn't know the lyrics to a song, he makes up new ones. And it's a bit of a filthy song to start with, Do You Think I'm Sexy, really. But it's just Rod with a bit of innuendo. But Mike kind of goes route one. Have a listen to this, Andy.
Yeah. If you think you have what it takes and you want to be one of the two challengers to give Anthony a run for his money tomorrow, then the song you need to work on is Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart.
Shall Michael. I just give you a few bars of that?
Go on in.
If you think I'm sexy and you're done to love me, come on, baby, open wide. If you think I'm groovy and you want to smooch me, come on, baby, by my side.
It's almost a better lyric, isn't it, than Rod?
What sort of smooching are you going to do by the side?
Sideways. Scott Parker can smooch by the side. Probably talks out the corner of their mouth like that. Scott Parker can smooch by the side. He could have been. Anyway, moving on.
Every year we at Christmas, we set our watch by there'll be a photo of Simon Cowell on a jet ski.
That's when you know it's Christmas. Never mind Santa.
But you also know it's Oktoberfest when you see Usain Bolt in Lederhosen.
Yeah, that's right.
Every year it's the same. He must love it.
Or is it Lederhosen?
Or Lederhosen. Lederhosen.
Andy, have you
obviously, we go to altitude every year for the ski festival, ski comedy festival in Meyerhofen. And Andrew Maxwell decided that it'd be very funny to get a pair of Lederhosen. It set him back 400 quid.
I know. A couple of mates of mine, when they went to the Tottenham game, £700 they won. They tried them on. £700?
Well, they're not very flexible, are they?
No, they're not really. You couldn't play in them. That would slow the bike. Maybe they should have worn the full Bavarian gear last week. Bayern might have had a chance.
They probably still would have won.
What a thought. So, are they comfortable?
Andrew says they're very comfortable. He likes them, but he keeps them. He's a strange boy.
Okay.
We're back there in the end of March.
There's a worrying new scam out now as well that cyber crooks have now worked out how to fake people's voices. So what they did, they rang this bloke up, an employee of this company, and they had the boss's voice, and they were able to just give him instructions. They were, send me $200,000. I mean, what I've worked out was a bit mechanical.
Is that how he speaks? That's a bit weird.
I know. Wow. But I was thinking, if you could fake somebody's voice, it'd be quite good. They could do the show for me. I could have the day off.
I thought you were having the day off today, to be honest.
That's very true.
Anything else, Andy?
God, blimey. I don't know what you've made of, because you're a sports fan. I don't know you've made of the World Athletics Championships.
Oh, terrible, isn't it? You can't do that.
If you love the
crowning moment, and they're in a stadium built for 70,000 people, and there's 1,000 in there, it's just ridiculous.
There have been some really odd performances. I mean, there's nothing you can say, but it's just the doubt that you have. You know, when somebody sort of suddenly pulls out an incredible record, or they perform well in two different events, and that people never normally do, and you start looking and you think,
you noticed that on Saturday evening. I was watching the Athletics, and Sifan Hassan won a race at the Laura Muir race. Yeah. And Laura Muir said she did a pretty incredible time by her standards and still finished fifth. And she was like, hard to believe I've still finished fifth at this time. And Hassan, who's worked with Alberto Salazar recently, said, I'm clean, very, very angry at the kind of whispering campaign that's gone on. But within minutes of watching a big feature race from a world championship, That's know, social story, media yeah. is alive with.
Well, that's the feeling.
You know,
that's
Chinny Reckon rumours.
Well, yeah, they've got to up the testing. Yeah. It's got to be more opaque so that we know that every athlete's got to be tested. You know, and they've got to find, they've got to keep ahead of. That's the trouble. They've got to keep ahead of the athletes who are finding ways to mask the effects of the tests. And that's it's just.
But Semko said the other day after the event, our sport is in pretty good shape.
It's fantastic.
I mean, isn't no
yeah,
one?
Well, the next, no the one, next, no one really. Next one in Atlanta, isn't it? Oregon.
How can a sport be in good shape when within seconds of a big marquee event like that,
everyone's doubting it?
1500 meters, everybody goes, "Yeah, not sure." I mean, it's really not healthy, is it, for any sport? It's like watching a football match and afterwards saying, "Oh, there was something wrong with that." You don't want to follow a sport like that.
And I'm reading about.
I say that every week. Something wrong with that.
Not in terms of performance. Yeah.
But reading about Salazar, his whole thing was to try and find a way of taking this stuff without being caught. So for all their athletes to say, well, they've never failed a drug test, you think, well, that was the point, wasn't
it?
He's got the best masking technique. I suppose in the fullness of time we'll find out exactly what went on, but he did push the parameters. Mm. He openly, athletes who worked, they admitted he pushed the parameters around that, didn't he?
I do like this letter from Les Holt, though, on the athletics. Les Holt is a guy that writes to The Sun, but he's got this way of writing about. He just basically tells you what happened. He never adds anything to anything. So he said, Lord Coe unjustly attacks Gabby Logan for criticising the sparse crowds at the Athletics World Championships. That's her job, to observe and comment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was the point? What was the point of even writing that in?
Well, he got published there, didn't he?
Yeah, someone
they
liked
love Talking letters. Of which, your new column in the non-league paper, they didn't call it Smarty Bants,
did
they?
No, they didn't call it Smarty Bants.
It's just called Andy Smart, isn't it?
Smarty Bants would be good.
So I think it would have been good, yeah. One of the listeners suggested that last week.
We'll see.
What sort of picture is it? Are you kind of just standing there at a match?
Yeah, it's me in a cocktail shirt.
Is it really? Yeah, yeah. Is that what you normally wear for a game?
No, but it's my publicity photo at the moment, so they just use that.
What is a cocktail shirt?
Oh, what is, the cocktail shirt.
It's sort of the sort of ones that Kramer used to wear in Seinfeld. Oh, okay.
Yeah, a cocktail shirt. Let's have a look.
Hold on, let me have a look.
I'm telling you what we're talking about.
But it's great because I'll get to go and see lots of non-league games, and I'm hopefully I get a press pass, and then I won't have to pay to get in.
Yeah. Surely that's, mentioned that. Isn't it about the lifeblood of the... Can they afford for you to get in?
I don't think so. No, I'm happy to pay.
Yeah, that's right. Although, if you are,
especially if the book keeps selling
well.
If
you're in the press. Now the book. What a beautiful segment. Of course, you are a published author.
I am.
The volume one of your memoirs.
Yes, I've started on number two now. So
he started writing it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is going to be a bit trickier because it's all about the early days of the alternative cavalry circuit, where there was quite a lot of wild stuff going on.
Right.
But
that's what people want to know. You'd
have to change a few names.
I might have to change a few names. Yeah.
Michael Owen likes serialisation in one of the papers.
I could get into a lot of trouble.
Tell us, the first book takes you up until the time when you.
Until I was 23, when I met Angelo, and then we became the Vicious Boys. So, it's
a very entertaining read. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it is good. And where's it available?
Well, I think it's mainly TalkSport listeners that are buying it.
Okay.
Thank you to everyone who bought it. And if you could just go on Amazon and give it a nice review, that'd be lovely.
Buy another copy.
It's great fun.
It makes a great Christmas present.
Cameos from the great and good. Even a very young guy, Garvey from Elbow, gets a cameo appearance in there where you least expect it.
I was a good friend. We were in Perth in Australia, and we walked into this steakhouse to have something to eat after the show, and they sort of. Four people came and sat at the table next to us, and I turned around, and it was Guy, and it was just so weird seeing him. And he went, "Oh, all right, Andy." And I went, "All right, Guy." And I was going, "You got a gig?" And he went, "Yeah." And he went, "You got a gig?" I went, "Yeah."
And that was
and then
it.
We just carried on eating.
You were the other side of the world.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
We went to see the gig. It was great.
So where can we see you in action then with the Comedy Store Players?
We're at the Comedy Store every Wednesday and Sunday, and then we've got the Globe coming up on the 18th, on the Friday of October, and that's... I think there's only about 100 tickets left now, and that's a 1,400-seater. That's one of our favourite gigs. Oh, it's an amazing gig because when you stand in the middle of the stage, there's 1,400 people in, and no one is more than 50 feet away from you. So you don't really have to raise your voice that much. You don't really need the microphones. Everyone can hear you. And when they laugh, it just knocks you off your feet.
I joined the...
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. One day, Andy, you'll say something and I'll laugh so much it'll knock you off your feet, as opposed to me wanting to knock you off your feet. I joined the fruit list, 2.1 million, looking for Glastonbury tickets yesterday.
Oh, did you?
The 135.
Oh, 34 minutes.
Yeah, that's I think it was a record even for them. But because you play that every year, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, we get our tickets free. That's,
yeah, I mean,
you
well,
can be part of the troupe. Are you
Come on, just do a bit of improv.
I think you can. you're the governor, Andy, when it comes to
I still get paid exactly what I got paid in 1984 when I first did it.
Really?
No, 1985 was my first one. And I still get paid exactly the same as I got paid then.
I wonder if that's true of the bands.
But I get a free ticket. So
if Led Zeppelin do reform, I wonder if that'll be true of them.
I don't think so.
Thanks, Andy. We'll catch up with you soon.
Pleasure, boys. Cheers.
Andy Smart there, Comedy Store, a player, ball runner, cheese chaser, farmer, a fan, non-league paper author. Sick of saying it now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, if I say Barnsley, what do you think of, Andy?
Darren Goff.
Darren
Yorkshire.
Goff. You think Yorkshire?
Oh, definitely think Yorkshire.
You think Yorkshire. Yorkshire. That was very much on the mind of our next guest as he set off to play in a snooker qualifying match. Barnsley.
An important qualifying match for the China Open.
That's right.
No, the World Open.
Unfortunately, the sat-nav let him down. And he headed for the wrong Barnsley.
It's a shame, isn't it? We've all done stuff like this, haven't we?
Joining us now then, snooker's very own Neil Robinson. Good afternoon, Neil.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. So, I mean, I've kind of summed it up really in a nutshell, but...
it's very bold of you to come on.
It is very good of you to front up like this.
It saves me from answering about 500 questions a day about it. So,
you're kind of East Anglia, weren't you? That's where you were based, and you put the sat-nav, just keyed in the word Barnsley, and it predictive text the rest of it, and you just press go. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, I live in Cambridge, and my friend usually drives me up, and so I usually just like chuck my headphones on and just watch something on the iPad or something like that on the way up and don't pay too much attention to where we're going. And but he was playing in a Challenge Tour event himself on the weekend, so I had to drive myself up. And so when I hopped in my car, I thought, hey, I'll just punch in one of the previous destinations. I'm sure Barnsley is still there when I've played in the qualifiers there before. So Barnsley was there. I punched it in. It happened to be pretty much the exact same mileage and time of arrival as what it would be for the Barnsley in Yorkshire. So, and so halfway driving, I'm thinking, yeah, this is all looks pretty normal. And then, it starts to get a bit darker in the day. So then, you lose your sense of what is familiar around you, I suppose. And, and all of a sudden I start seeing signs for Wolverhampton. I'm thinking, geez, Wolverhampton, that doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. And so, geez, okay, all right. And then by the time I realised, something is clearly wrong here, I was actually 90 miles away from where I had to be. And then, I could have, when I realised, I could have driven and got there, but how it works is that if you're not there on the match on time, you lose a frame, then you lose a frame every 5 minutes afterwards. So I would have got there, you know, far too late for that, about half hour too late. Oh. And so I had to call up the tournament organisers and tell them I wasn't going to be there. And I'm sure everyone in the players' lounge had a good chuckle over it, as they all have. And I've also learned that there's two Barnsleys in the UK.
At least you didn't go all the way to Barnsley in Gloucester.
You didn't get. It's a shame because it's a lovely place.
No, 10 miles before that.
Oh, no, it was 10 miles. You might as well have gone on.
You should have carried on.
Just gone in the local pub. Yeah. Got in the local pub, put 50p on the pool table. Yeah. You just had a game with someone while you were there.
That would have been good.
But they have the Barnsley Village Festival. It's celebrating its 31st anniversary at the moment. It looks like a lovely place, the other Barnsley. It did strike me, though, Neil, that I know that Barry Earn gets a bit of stick from Ronnie about some of the venues, but I think a village that's got a population of about 230 probably would have been pushing it a bit, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah, probably. I don't think there would have been too many people come and watch.
And I was really, as well, you've had a few travel problems this year because you were off to... due to go to the Riga Masters in Latvia, but you got stuck.
Not the Riga in Gloucestershire.
No.
Yeah, this was incredible. This happened to about 12 or 13 players. We were all due to fly out, and then so we're on the runway, and private jet lands and burst a tyre, and so there's debris all over the runway. And so we're actually stuck on there for 3 hours. Then we come off, and then there was a time of year, it was a few months ago when there was some really, really bad storms around London. So then every flight around London, Heathrow, Stansted, everywhere, all the flights were cancelled. And so none of us could even get a flight the next morning or anything like that because everything was just so much delayed. And so all of us actually had to pull out of the event. So, I haven't had the best start. Semi-finals, Shanghai Masters, I missed even half my tip comes off midway through the match with Ronnie O'Sullivan in the semis, which... it's like pulling your hamstring right before 100-metre sprint. not the best of luck. So hopefully I've got it all out of the way and then I can start getting some good results together.
Yeah. I mean, of course, at home in Australia, if you put in the wrong town, if one's in northern Queensland and one's in Adelaide, you'll spot the difference quite quickly, won't you?
Probably. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
But the trouble is, as we're quite a tiny country, relatively speaking, to Australia, these sort of things can happen.
Yeah, so I guess the lesson to be learned is just always make sure you punch in the postcode instead of the actual name. Yeah. But, funnily enough, I actually did this in 2011 when I was defending the World Championship. I actually wrote in Sheffield, and it took me to a Sheffield kind of somewhere near London. So I actually tried on the M11 the complete wrong way.
I've been Shenfield.
Shenfield.
Probably took you there. I'm sure the mayor of Barnsley, the other Barnsley, will be in touch. They might ask you to come along and open the festival or something one year.
At least I know where it is now.
yeah, brilliant. Well, good to tell you. You're a good sport, Neil. Thanks for coming on. All the best. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no worries, guys.
Neil,
cheers, thank
Neil
you.
Robertson, their former world snooker champion, who went to the wrong Barnsley.
Yep. Hmm.
It's easy done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's time for the clips of the month for September. And we have six for you. And we kick off with one that's been a bit of a runner, actually. Adam Cattrall and Mickey Gray. They had a new quiz in their show. See how this panned out.
Mystery guest can only answer yes or no. And we've then got to identify that mystery guest. All right, okay.
All right, so mystery guest, can you tell me the team where you played where you had the most appearances?
Yeah. Yes or no, Mickey? Yes. Only yes or no.
Exactly. This is Extra Time host Ollie Hunter now chatting to Will Gavin in the Windy City.
As you're in Chicago, what are your favourite Chicago movies, Chicago-based movies?
All right, I'll bang out one immediately.
I'm not seeing that, have you? I think that might have been straight to DVD. We know you like the kind of old school smut, so we've gone route one for you today. That does tend to win out. And with that in mind, this was a strange moment when Sam Matterface... this was a strange moment with Sam Matterface in the game between Southampton and Manchester United recently.
Rashford got past Bednarak, put it through his legs, got to the edge of the penalty area, ran into Vestergaard. Mike Dean got smacked by the ball and has lost some of his equipment, and it's ricocheted into the arms of Angus Gunn, who sent it upfield.
Angus Gunn's holding some of Mike Dean's equipment that he sent upfield. Yeah.
Excuse me. Here's a caller to the Jim White Show.
The best defender stroke
player I've ever seen is Vincent Kompany.
Right. So what about Ramos? Where does he rank with you?
Can I just go to the toilet?
Nice.
Thanks.
Beautiful.
It's a good way of avoiding the question.
This is showbiz correspondent Kent Garrison. Yeah, not an army barracks in Maidstone, but a real man on extra time, chatting about the new Breaking Bad movie. And we think the word he was looking for was onus.
You know, like I said, the big question is, the onus is on them if Bryan Cranston is going to come back or not.
It's onus, Kent, isn't it? Surely.
Of course it is.
And finally, Andy.
Here's Ali McCoist and Alan Brazil discussing Spurs striker.
The flip side of the coin is Harry Kane going to Manchester United. Is that a step forward for Harry Kane?
No. There we are. Alan clearly thought no, and that did remind us of something.
We should release this. I think it'll be a hit.
Yeah, Alan Brazil and Two Unlimited together at last. So there we are. There was your clips. Was it Adam and Mickey trying out the new yes or no quiz? Was it banging one out immediately in Chicago? Was it Mike Dean's equipment in the hands of Angus Gunn? Was it the caller who wanted to go at the toilet? Was it the onus is on Bryan Cranston? Or was it Two Unlimited and Big Alan? So if you go to at TSHNJ on Twitter, TSHANDJ, we'll have a couple of semi-finals, then a final, and then just before Goffey and Adrian take over at four, we'll play the winner once again. The clips of the week will return on Friday, as always, in the usual slot. And just a reminder, if you hear a clip on TalkSport that you think might work over the next few days, send it to us, talksport.com/HNJ. Text it to 81089, tweet it to TSHNJ, and give us a day and a time when you heard. And if it's played, you will get the credit. There we are. So we'll bring you a winner just before 4 o'clock. We spoke to Neil Robertson earlier on, the former world snooker champion, who had gone to the wrong
Barnsley.
The wrong Barnsley, rather than the one in Yorkshire, the little tiny little village in Gloucestershire. And he explained
he's put that one on the map, the other
yes,
Barnsley.
Yes, he certainly has. He explained all the circumstances, and we'll put it in the H&J Daily so you get a feel for what went on. But this is from Russ in Wigan. He said, similar to going to the wrong Barnsley, a few years ago, before SatNav, a Canadian colleague grabbed me to ask where Southampton was. He was in Northampton at the time and thought Hampton itself was the town. Yeah, and right. All he had to do was basically head south.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So if you've got any more of those, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Now, you may remember that during the Women's World Cup, I had to issue a lot of bans, life bans, which I'm still enforcing.
For people who compare women's football to men's football.
But I picked up another one. It's a late one in the Guardian magazine on Saturday. Mm. I agree 100% with Claire Balding that the unsavoury aspects of men's football have ruined their game. The Women's World Cup was a revelation. Exciting up-tempo games played in the spirit that does credit to the sport. Okay, mate, that's you. Life ban.
Can't go to any men's matches. Unenforceable, of course, no. But it's symbolic, really. Now, till the weekend, West Ham fans were putting the brilliant runner results down to their new carpet. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I like the carpet.
That's right.
It's an improvement.
At that stage, they'd lost just one of their last five Premier League games at the ground.
Yeah, and that they was 5-0 to City.
At that point, they were hoping to make it 6 in the game against Palace. But the stats show that home form had soared since the rug was rolled out, with win rates, points per game, all up. Apparently, until, of course, the curse of the carpet kicked in at the weekend.
Look, they play some nice football, West Ham, as Mossy was saying. They just need a bit of consistency.
Yeah.
James Middleton, Kate Middleton's brother.
Sure, yeah.
Has got engaged to girlfriend Alizé Thévenet. Probably not from Tau, am I guessing?
Alizé Thévenet.
That's her name, Alizé Thévenet.
Okay, it's a beautiful name.
Well, it's a very nice name, isn't it?
Yeah. So you going? You'll go? Be invited?
I'm definitely not going.
Just for the evening? You'll just get there just as the pay bar kicks
that's
in.
Me, yeah,
just definitely. At that point where they, just for that, the grand he put behind the bar has just run out and yours is the first round.
No, probably right.
Yeah.
In the modern way, someone has called for Gary Lineker to be sacked.
Okay, what for?
I don't know. Oh, yes, that's right.
I don't know.
Well, oh, no, I think it was about the hacker. I think the remarks about the hacker.
Well, he did it on Match of the Day. I'm sure I would have spotted that.
I know. So basically...
Is it another hair joke? He did another hair joke to Danny and Alan Shearer.
And somebody else wrote and said that Walker should sack him. Oh, for goodness sake. It really is the modern thing, isn't it? You don't agree with somebody, so you just call for them to be sacked.
Well, I've been trying to get you sacked for ages. I've been really working. I've had petitions, the lot. Nothing's working.
Yes. Walker's Chris, give Gobby Gary the sack, says this person.
Okay.
Suits are no longer jackets and ties. You do, apparently that's out. The old suits are out, jackets are out, ties are out. It's all casual now. That's what they say.
I feel like I'm having a conversation with someone at a bus stop.
You are. When's the 94 coming
along? Apropos of nothing, just said suits are out, it's just jackets are out. It's like you're an old... It's like you're bemoaning the poor standards of modern people.
I am.
Yeah.
Why not?
Fantastic, yeah. Anyway,
yes.
It shouldn't... I think it'd be a couple of minutes yet, though.
Oh, good.
I've got to go now, but I'm walking. It might be... It says on the sign it'll be 2 minutes, so you've got to trust them, eh?
Talking of walking, I mean, I know today that we're travelling to a do together today.
We are.
And I wonder if I've got to keep up with you. I end up having to run.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Andy's, I'm just sort of walking at a normal pace down the road, but because he's got short legs, he's kind of more or less flat out.
I am. It's like Usain Bolt, sprinting.
It's really odd when you're walking, there's someone really sprinting alongside you, and they're not going any quicker than you. It's very strange. But I walk slowly, Andy.
That's good. It is a thing that you. I think as you get older, you do slow down. Because I was walking the other day,
wow.
And a woman was walking alongside me on the other side of the road.
And you were trying to keep up with her?
I was trying to keep up with her and I couldn't. And she just seemed to be so casually just strolling. As soon as she got her phone out, then I suddenly zoomed.
And then did you
ahead.
Dip for the line?
I did.
Did
yeah.
you kind of get in her face, start punching the air?
Very much
Poor
so.
Woman didn't even know she was in a contest. Just walking down the street, minding her own business.
But I won the race and then I said, look, I'm clean.
Yeah, I'm really sure honestly. You did. I'm clean. Despite your associations, you are clean.
Very much so.
Sport's in a good place, as Sebco told us, and of course, who are we to argue with that? Faye Carruthers will be joining us. England's women lost again at the week, and they're in a bad run at the moment. And Phil Neville is under a bit of pressure, isn't he?
Well, you know, they've got all this interest. You know, everybody's sort of up for it, and all they've done since the World Cup is lose. So it's not ideal.
So what is going wrong? Faye joins us from the Women's Football Show here on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. We'll talk a bit of cricket with Chris Silverwood getting the England head coach's job. Derek Pringle will be giving us his thoughts on that, former Essex and England all-rounder turned journalist who knows Chris very well. And it was the first game at Tottenham's new stadium. And the reports generally is that it's been well-received over in America.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say, I was watching a bit of it last night, I was thinking, you know, it's... Playing on AstroTurf is not the same as playing Wembley on the grass. I think there's something about grass, especially for American football. But look, they loved it. The
is it an AstroTurf surface? The Tottenham surface?
It's not turf, is it? It's not grass.
I think it's a bit of a hybrid grass, isn't it?
Well,
it looked
an artificial surface to me.
Did it really? Hmm. Okay, we'll find out. Will Gavin was there.
Yes, exactly. Did you see Antiques Roadshow?
I didn't actually.
Well, I like
we are
it.
Back at the bus stop.
Oh, no, it's one of my favourites. Well, I'm bringing you back to sport.
Oh, that's good.
There was a Bodyline stump, or a stump from the Bodyline series, 1932, signed by the England winning Ashes team from the last match, the final match.
Shall I try and guess what it was worth? $10,000.
Of course, Bonnie.
Was it really?
$10,000. I said to the wife, I bet that's going to go for about $100,000. $10,000. I'd have paid $100,000 for it.
Bet the bloke was gutted. Yeah, they'd love you at an auction. $100,000 for the last bit was only 9,000.
There are only six of them. You know, it's quite a rare item.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So as promised, here's the winner that you voted for in the Clips of the Month for September. 63% of the vote, beating Mickey Gray's difficulty asking yes or no questions. Is this caller to Jim White?
The best defender stroke player I've ever seen is Vincent Kompany.
Right. So what about Ramos? Where does he rank with you?
Can I just go to the toilet?
Fair enough. So there we are, 63% of the vote there for that one, and the Clips of the Week return on Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are then, that was us today. Our guests tomorrow include James Richardson, of course, European football expert, Graham Bell, the top skier turned TV presenter, and Chris Packham, Andy's nemesis. It could all go off. I've got no idea why last week Andy talked about having a fight with Chris Packham.
I can't even remember.
It was moths, wasn't it? Moth related.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to kill
the moths.
I
wanted to kill all the moths. And I thought Chris would have had him for that. But anyway, we may touch on that with Chris tomorrow. Possibly. Actually, we may steer clear of it. Don't need trouble. Thanks for downloading us. We will catch up with you then.
Been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.